John chapter number 5, as Pastor Sheepman said, next Sunday night is our high school graduation. I invite you to be here. You should be here. It'll be a blessing and encouragement to you. It'll be a blessing and encouragement to those young people graduating. And you remember that day? Man, that was a long time ago. How many of you used an abacus in school? Any abacuses? All right, very good. Great, all right. John chapter number 5. Not quite ready to move off that last song yet. I'm just thinking about it. And thinking about that old account was settled too. Remember the day it got settled? Remember what that was like? Having all your sins forgiven, free from the bondage of sin, and praise the Lord for that. We are blessed. Praise the Lord. John chapter number 5, verse 33. We'll conclude the chapter tonight. Not many verses, but some important thoughts. Christ is going to be testified of. He's going to speak his own words. Do you have a red letter edition there, Ryan? Is verse 33, is this Christ talking? All right, very good. So these are the words of Jesus, and he's kind of giving some proofs of who he is. And he's referring back, and we'll look at some of these tonight, and I pray that it would be a help and encouragement to you. There's a couple key thoughts in the passage that I think is something we can really grab a hold of, and I hope, again, it will be a blessing and a strengthening of your faith. We don't serve just a man. We serve the Son of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is who he says he is. I was listening, every now and then I'll catch some sports talk, and they'll talk about people that came out of the draft, high prospects. And then they hit the court, or they hit the field, and they just never turned out to be who they thought they were going to be. You know, Lord Jesus Christ isn't like that. Everything that was said about him, he fulfilled. And we're going to see some of those things tonight. John chapter number 5, we'll read verses 33 and 34, and then we'll pray. He said unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth, but I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say, that ye might be saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for, again, God, the indwelling Holy Spirit of God that bears witness with one another. And God, we do have something to sing about. And God, your Holy Spirit does work in our life. And God, thank you for that. Thank you that, Lord, you're here in the midst of this place here tonight. And God, I pray that you would limit distractions and that we would be able to just be attentive and focus in on your word tonight. Lord, again, speak to our hearts from it. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus, if just for a moment, I'd like to draw your attention back just a little bit. He was speaking to the scribes, and by nature, the scribes were kind of, you would think the copiers of the law and those that kind of kept the word would be a little more on the same page as Jesus, but they certainly were kind of a conflict. And he's going to discuss some of these things. And when he kind of talks, you're going to notice maybe a little sharp talk here in maybe a denial of Jesus, who he is. He's referring back to these that are at, responding that way. So that's kind of what the context here as we jump in. I know it's been a number of weeks since we've started this chapter and kind of forget where we were and what was going on. But starting in verse 33, he says, "Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth." We certainly remember that when Jesus Christ was coming, he announces to all those that were there that day, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." And verse 34, But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. Hey, John had some influence with people. John the Baptist paid attention. People paid attention to what John the Baptist was saying. He had some a good testimony amongst people. So Christ brings him up, but quite honestly, he did not really need John to confirm who he was, but yet he still includes it, as we're going to see four witnesses of who Jesus is. Number one, John the Baptist. Number two, and number two is going to be the most impacting, were his works, then of the Father, and then we'll look at the scriptures, and it'll pretty much conclude the passage tonight. In verse 33, again, we saw John the Baptist. In verse 36, as we'll get there, but it's speaking of John in verse 35, John the Baptist. Again, the reference here of John is not John the Apostle, but John the Baptist. In verse 35, it references two things. He was a burning and shining light, and you are willing for a season to rejoice in his light. Two things about a fire or something of that sort. When we have a wood stove, when we put, as hot as it is, you get that thing hot enough, you can even put wet wood in there, and that's going to burn. But eventually, that gets consumed. And Jesus speaks of John the Baptist. It says he was burning and shining. For something to be burning, what was so abnormal, as we looked this morning, when Moses was looking at the burning bush and it was not being consumed, things that are on fire, Isaiah, get consumed. They get smaller, they cripple down, as big as a flame may be. Where's Nate? Is Nate here tonight? All right. The other night, it was at Young Adults Activity, and there was a fire over there in that side yard that I thought all the Walker was going to go up. This was the end. This is not good. But after, about a half hour or so, peeked back out there, and man, that thing just dwindled down. What happened? It burned out. It got consumed. And Jesus, speaking of John the Baptist, it says, and he was burning. You know what? John gave of himself, and he got lesser and lesser and lesser. Hey, that's how we ought to be for the Lord, right? I mean, by the end, we know the verse. It's on the sign. He must increase and I must decrease. As we burn for the Lord, if you will, there is a consumption about that. But that's not the only aspect of burning. It's also shining. It gives off light. And that's what John was. He testified of Jesus. He said, hey, I'm not the Messiah. I'm just preparing the way for that one to come. And Christ references that. He references that he was burning and shining. Again, there was a cost, but at the same time, not only was there a cost, that's the burning, the shining, there was also a benefit. We all benefit. Here we are. The sun's out. It's a beautiful night. But if we fast forward about 4 months from now, 5 months from now, at this time, it's going to be dark. You're not going to have to wear sunglasses, Ray. You'll be fine. And it'll be dark at that time. And then we'll have the lights on and they will emit light. And there is a benefit to us for that. John the Baptist had a cost. But at the same time, there was a benefit to those that heard. Hey, living for the Lord, there's a cost. It does cost you something. It ought to. I remember years ago, I heard a preacher say the church isn't built on spare time and pocket change. That's true. There's an investment that's needed. And John the Baptist said, I'd be willing to do that. I'd be willing to be, consumed. I'm willing to let it cost me something that others might benefit. And he says this here in verse 35, and you are willing for a season to rejoice in his light. I think this is a really important truth. I bring it up occasionally, but here it is really in context here. The time comes for all of us to walk in our own light. There was a number of followers of John the Baptist, and they would follow John the Baptist, but eventually everybody had to get their own light. If you've ever walked outside in the middle of the night, maybe you were camping for some reason, or you were just wandering through the woods at night, and there you were, and there were five people and two flashlights. Well, you want to be one with the flashlight. Why? Because you can see where you're going. Hey, if you're not, you're going to have to follow somebody that has a light. Hey, that's good for a while. But there comes a time, it's willing, it's good for a season. But there's an end of seasons. Nowhere, I think, in this globe understands that as good as people in Western New York. There are seasons, very strong seasons. This is one of the most beautiful times. But you know what? There's a time when you, sure, hey, listen, young people, it's good to follow the faith of your parents. There's a lot of things. I'll just quite be honest with you. You just don't understand. You don't get. And mom and dad will say no to things or yes to things, and it just doesn't make sense to you. But you're walking in their light for a little while. But eventually, there's going to come a time, there's going to be a season when you graduate out of that season, and you got to get your own light. You're going to have to start making decisions for your own. Hey, ladies, the same thing with you. You're going to follow mom for a period of time. She's going to show you some ways. She's going to instruct you on how to be a godly lady. But eventually, there's going to come a time when you're going to have to choose to walk by the light. That you're going to have to choose to follow the Lord Jesus Christ yourself. We each need to possess our own lights. Yes, we can depend on the faith of those that are more stable for a period of time, but eventually, as you mature, you're to walk in your own light. I'm going to ask you tonight, do you have your own light? How's your relationship with the Lord? Is it real? Is it genuine? Or are you just kind of riding the coattails of somebody else? Do you know God personally? Does He speak to you? Can you hear His voice? John chapter number 10, number of chapters away, probably at this rate, 4 months from now, we'll be in John chapter number 10. But He says, my sheep hear my voice, and they know me. Can you follow the voice of God in your life? Well, I'm just going to, hey, that's fine. If things are a little rocky in your life, find someone that's following the Lord. But eventually, you better get your own light. That can only carry you for so long. John chapter number 5 and verse 36. He says, but I have greater witness than that of John. He said it. Jesus says, I got something better than John. And I would have to, out of the four witnesses of who Jesus is, I think this is the most convincing. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. Hey, if Jesus wasn't who He said He was, then how did He do all the things that He did? We're real good at talking the talk, right? We have teenagers at our house. And they'll tell you all the things you want to hear. But you know what's more valuable than what I want to hear? You doing what you're supposed to do. And Jesus can say, here's what I am and here's all these things. But you know what testified of really who Jesus was? The lives that were changed by Christ. The water that was turned to wine. The impotent man that was healed. The Samaritan woman that believed. Look at John chapter number 10. Look at some verses here tonight. How's everybody doing tonight? Okay? We're good? Are we doing all right? You got big eyes. I don't know. Am I doing something wrong? All right. Mrs. Russo's giving me Are we all right, Braden? Okay. Are you okay? No? You're not okay? He's not okay? All right. You feeling all right? Okay. John 10. Jesus answered them, I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Isn't that so true? Turn over chapter 10 and verse 38. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. He says, would you just take a look at what I've done? Just take a look at what I've done. Can we not go from one side of the auditorium to the next? You know what you are? You are proof that Jesus is who He says He is. Look at John chapter number 14 and verse 11. believe me that I am the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. It's just proof. It's proof that Jesus is who he says he is. Again, you know what's a great testifier of what you believe? By what you do. J.C. Riley speaks of the works of Christ, and he says, in number, there are too many to explain. In greatness, too great to overlook. In publicity, never done in a dark corner. In character, beneficial demand, showing mercy and compassion. Spontaneous, never staged. Effectiveness, instantaneous, perfect, and complete. That's the work of Christ. Hey, when we follow the things that he does for others, is that not what he does? Is that not what he has done in your life? Do you understand that when Christ makes changes in your life and does things that only Christ can do, it just proves again that he is who he says he is. One of the greatest testimonies that a person can have is the changed life of Christ through Christ. This is what I was before, and now this is what I am now. Brother Sutliff, did Christ make a difference in your life? Big one. You talked to the Sutliffs about where they were at when they met Jesus. Man, their life was here in disarray. You know what it just proves? Everything in this book is real. Hey, is your life demonstrating the works of Christ? Say, oh, my testimony is not important. He said it's more important than the words of John the Baptist himself. Don't think for a minute that your testimony isn't important. It's most important. Verse 37, John 5, 37, and Jesus and the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. And this is where he gets a little sharp with his words. He says, ye have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Those are pretty strong words for the religious folk. You don't even know the Father. If I were to ask you, do you know my dad? Oh yeah, he's, and you barely describe him, or you can't identify what he looks like. Well, kind of, that's what Jesus is saying. You don't even know my Father. And the Father, if you don't know him, you're not going to believe me. That's what he's talking about here. A reference to these unbelieving Jews, to not knowing the Father, making this witness weakened for them. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Second Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:4, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should, glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Hey, if they don't believe the Father, they're not going to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Isn't that not what Jesus is? The image of God? Is that not the problem? In verse 37, ye hath neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape. That they don't believe. And that's why he's having such a hard time. Jesus is the voice and the image of God. And their rejection caused them to miss this. In verse 38, it says, John 5, 38, and ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. And now the fourth witness says, search the scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Imagine not having the New Testament. I mean, that's what... Paul isn't even on the scene. There's no Pauline epistles. There's no prison epistles. There's none. There's no 1 Peter, 2 Peter. None of that's been written. We're in John chapter number 5. All of this stuff is happening. But there's no Gospels for them to reference, so they have the Old Testament to refer back to. And he says this, search the Scriptures. That's what he's telling them. And they are they which testify of me. The Scriptures clearly testify of Jesus. Say, where can I read about that? Write some passages down to study on your own. Psalm 22, Isaiah 53, Micah 5, Genesis 22. I've had the privilege of talking to people over the years, and they'll come and say, and they're as sincere as anything, and they'll say, Pastor, I would like a deeper walk with the Lord. Man, as a pastor, there's not too many better conversations other than what must I do to be saved, right? I want to learn more about the Savior. What book could I read about Jesus or learning about faith? Well, number one bestseller, yep. This one. Just study the Scriptures. Why? Because they testify of who Jesus is. When someone gets saved, you know what I recommend to them? I tell them to start reading in the book of John. Why? Because the most important thing is for a Christian to understand who their Savior is. And I think John is an excellent book that testifies of those things. Hey, our Scriptures, the Scriptures are our connection to developing a closer walk with the Lord. So why is it sometimes hesitant? Why do we have a hard time getting our face in the Word of God? In 2 Timothy 2:15, it tells us to study. Acts chapter 17, we're familiar with the group here. Acts 17 and verse 11, it says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures how often? Daily. Whether those things were so. I know it seems like a simple fundamental and of course we know these things. We ought to talk to the Lord every day and we ought to be in our Bible every day. But if we were honest and we went, okay, out of the 7 days this week, how many times did you have personal devotion time with the Lord and read your Bible? What does that number look like? That's for you to answer. But if you're wondering why your walk with the Lord is struggling or you're having a hard time with faith, is it possible that you're just not searching the Scriptures like you should? Or you're just not in the Bible like you should? Why? Because the Word of God strengthens our faith. Too often times, people search the Bible to prove God wrong rather than seek for the truth. That's unfortunate. As we go back to John chapter number 5, starting in verse 40, the Bible says, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Isn't that sad? He says, I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. Those are really strong words. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? And that's a real, real question here tonight. And that's what kind of this all breaks down to. Are you more concerned about what man thinks of you or what God thinks? And if we got a hold of the thing that, now what happens when we get asphyxiated on trying to please man? We can't. You can't please man all the time. Even as much as you try and you try and make everybody happy, hey, there's going to be, no matter what decision you make, there's going to be someone that doesn't like it. So stop trying to please man and just try and please the Lord. Honor God. We would do well to recognize that there is a downside in trying to receive honor from men only. We should seek the honor that comes from God only. Look at John chapter number 12. And verse 43. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Hey, if we're just going to be honest, has that ever been your heart? I seek the appraisal of men more than God. Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2, look at verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Yeah? I'm going to lift that other person up more than me. You're more important than me. Hey, instead, I need the affirmation. If you're constantly seeking for the affirmation of man, you're not going to find it. But isn't it a blessing to know that the Creator of the whole universe is pleased with our faith and our actions? That's what we should be seeking. Back to John chapter number 5 and verse 45. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. Why the reference to Moses? Here we are some long time since Moses. We're all probably, go back to Exodus, but you're probably looking at close to 1,500 years since Moses was on the scene. How was he accusing them? Well, that's more of a reference to the law. As a Jew, they put a lot of trust in the writings of Moses. And Moses' law is the judge of those that are without Christ. You know what? There's one thing, Chase, you don't want to be judged by the law of Moses. You want to be judged by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Because that one is, you can get a hold of that. You can never satisfy the law. You can never meet all the needs of the law. Look at Romans chapter number 3. Romans chapter number 3. Look at verse 19. Romans 3:19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law. And every mouth may be stopped, and all the world, look at now, may become guilty before God. That was the purpose of the law. If I asked you, have you ever broken a civil law? Well, I mean, I haven't robbed a bank, but I don't know what immediately comes to my mind is speeding. Is that? I've been caught speeding. I've also been speeding and gone past police officers, and they didn't seem to mind. Do you understand that we're all guilty before God? And it was the writings of Moses. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in the sight. The law doesn't bring justification. It brings condemnation. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Sin isn't a mistake. We're getting close to the end of our school year. A bunch of students are taking tests, their final test this week. If they respond to an answer incorrectly, that's not sin. And sometimes that's our approach. Oh, it's just a mistake. No, it's an offense against a holy, righteous God. And we should do everything we can to make those things right. If you've sinned against a person, to go and ask for forgiveness. As you sinned against a man, to go and try and make those things right. What is the law for? To simply show us what sin is. Hey, we're all sinners. Because of that, we all need a Savior. And that's the Lord Himself. As we conclude this passage in John chapter number 5, in verses 46 and 47, it says this: For had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. And when I read that, I thought, well, where's that? I don't remember in the law Jesus' name. Deuteronomy chapter number 18. First five books of your Bible are written by Moses. It's called the Pentateuch. It's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and then Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter number 18, starting in verse 15, it says, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, They have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him." Verse 19, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him." Well, I'm just not into this Jesus thing. God the Father said, you better listen to that prophet, because I'm going to hold you to what he says. Yeah, Moses did speak of Jesus. The world has unfortunately forsaken the fundamental writings of Moses. Take down those Ten Commandments. Why do you think they want the commandments taken down? To make himself feel better. Because what does the law do? It gives us knowledge of sin. And if I'm a sinner, then I need a Savior. But if there's no sin, and it's all okay, then I don't need Jesus. In the courtrooms, we went into the Capitol building. Blake, you remember, did you go into the Capitol building? Did you get to go into that? And over there, and they have on one end of the inside where the House of Representatives meet, the face of Moses is in there. They have a statue, like his, not that, I don't know if it's an exact replica, but he represents Moses. Why? Because there's some powerful things in the Word of God that should govern our morals. Get that thing out of here. Get those Ten Commandments out of here. I want to remove that. I don't want to have to think about that. Hey, God's going to require what Jesus has said of thee. Well, what did he say? You must be born again. That you need a Savior. Chances are real good that if you reject the evidence here, you won't believe anything. It says there, had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me, verse 47. But if you believe not his writing, how shall you believe my words? If you don't even believe the Ten Commandments, you're not going to believe me. And that's so true. That's so true. So tonight, how serious is Christianity to you? How serious is your walk with the Lord? Are you in that process of going from someone else's light to your own light? That was a really important point. Hey, it's good to walk behind somebody. And again, there's some people that are rock solid with the things of God. And it's good to attach up to that and get a hold of that and follow that for a while. But eventually, you got to get your own light. And secondly, tonight, are you the witness of Jesus, of who he said he was? Does your life testify that Jesus, all his works, or are you living just like the world? That there's no difference between your life and a person who doesn't even believe. And as we come to the end, Well, I don't like the law. Yeah, I don't like it either. But it's the truth. And it reminds us and it tells us that we need Christ. Remember, that law could not justify us. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight without the Lord Jesus Christ, well, I just didn't know. He's going to require it of all of us. Say, well, that doesn't make me feel warm and fuzzy inside. I understand, but when your sins have been forgiven, that's a great feeling. I know salvation isn't a feeling. It's a fact. But to have that sin debt paid, imagine, anybody have a mortgage tonight? Anybody? Some people? Roger, imagine you get a call Monday morning. Hey, this is whatever bank. Good news, your mortgage has been paid. I'm sorry, what? Nope, this isn't a mistake. You don't have to send Nigeria money. We're all, this is... the statement will be to you in a week. You're calling people. You're calling Ashley. You're calling me. You're calling your parents. You're excited. Why? Because the sin debt. Because your debt has been paid. Imagine about that tonight. About how about a debt? Now, in 30 years, that thing might be paid off or whatever you have as a plan. How about a debt that could never be paid? That's what salvation is. If you're here tonight and your sin debt hasn't been paid, why don't you get that thing settled tonight? There's nothing in this world that's worth going to hell over. Nothing. Your pride, even, how about this, even your ignorance. Well, I just don't know about that stuff. All right, let someone show you from the scriptures what it means to be a child of God. That's the most important thing. Let's all stand tonight. Have you been convinced by the four witnesses? Is your life a testimony? Maybe tonight you want to come and talk to the Lord and say, God, I don't think I'm living a life that would convince anybody that you are who you say you are. Lord, would you help me change my ways? Maybe tonight you've been following somebody, following their light, and that's okay for a season. But Lord, would you help me get my own light? Maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. You've never asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from your sin. How about you do that tonight? In a moment, the music's going to play and we'll have an invitation. We'll say, what's an invitation? Exactly how it sounds. I invite you to come. There's an altar here. In the Old Testament, what was burned on the altar? Sacrifices were made. Oh, sure, a lamb could have been killed at home, but God required that someone would come to the altar. It just solidifies the decision. I encourage you to, if the Lord has worked in your heart, to come to the altar tonight. Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless this time of invitation. Lord, whatever the needs may be here tonight, maybe something completely beyond what we spoke about in John chapter number 5, but Lord, you've been dealing with somebody in their heart about something. And they know it, and you know it, and God, maybe tonight is the night they get that thing settled. Lord, I ask that you bless this time of invitation now. In Jesus' name, amen.